The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Boy, what a day of golf today. A little chilly, but it seems like everyone had a great time. All the partners coming in. Some of the partners that you hear each and every day on this radio station joined us today. We're live at the Sanctuary Golf Course. Hoodie's in next to me for Waddle today. Waddle was on in the morning. It's all brought to you by Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne and PointsBet app. Great food, great drinks, sports betting, and horse racing. Only at Club Hawthorne, as they have it all. American Sale. My guys over at Shady Rays, if you're watching on Twitch, you always see me with my Shady Rays. Got them on the bill of my cap right now inside. Tito's Handmade Vodka, Lou Malnati's Pizza, our great friends at Blue Chew. They bring you Crosstalk Unhinged each and every week. SEO Level Up. Check them out at SEOLevelUp.com. And their Cap's Choice for web design. So make SEOLevelUp.com your digital marketing team. Let's talk to Courtney Cronin right now, as Mondays are usually a day where you get to voice your opinion. Every day is that day on this station where we take your phone calls at 332-3776. But we haven't talked, at least this show, haven't talked to Courtney since last week, and she joins us right now on ESPN 1000. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, guys. I'm sad I missed the golf today, but it sounds like you had a beautiful day to do it.
Yeah, it was a little cool this morning, but starting to warm up in the afternoon. So, but we're having a great time. And so we want to talk to you about this Bears team based on what you heard from Matt Eberflus yesterday. What did you glean from the conversation?
You know, I think that I'll go back to how it felt on Sunday when you're in a winning locker room that feels anything but that. This team is self-aware of the stage that it's in right now, and that's the message that's being portrayed from players and really from the head coach. And you go back to what Matt Eberflus was talking about yesterday, that there were good signs in certain respects from what happened on Sunday. The run defense improved, and it definitely needed to. The tackling improved from a week ago where they missed countless tackles and extended drives because of it in Green Bay, and you got to see some positive examples of that not happening against the Houston Texans. But more than anything, the conversation centers and will continue to center around Justin Fields and what they need to do to be able to help him grow out of this stage and through this stage that they probably expected in some respects he'd be in. And, you know, there's a lot that I think Eberflus knows you have to pin on the quarterback, which is the responsibility of the quarterback. And he said this week he wants him to work on footwork and timing, but that they can create cleaner pockets for him. So he is comfortable at least attempting to try to step up in the pocket and make a throw. But, you know, I go back to like what he was talking about with the interceptions, that, you know, he cannot put the ball in harm's way. And especially on that second pick, that's exactly what he did, throwing into, you know, a window that had triple, you know, three defenders around Darnell Mooney. So I think that that's probably where this team is at right now, thinking how can they win games in spite of some lackluster quarterback play. But, you know, some of the areas of this team that they're happy with in terms of the defense and how this group has not, you know, allowed more than three field goals in the second half of games this season, and how well the run game has been performing.
Courtney, if I told you right before the season and I read you some stats off, what would be the most surprising one? Would it be that Fields only has 297 yards? Would it be that they've only let him throw 45 times in three games, or that he's completed just 23 passes? Would it be that Darnell Mooney, healthy, has 27 yards receiving through three games? What out of the ones I read, or maybe some other one that you can go with, has stunned you the most?
I think it's got to be Mooney. I mean, this is your number one receiver, and whether you believe he is capable of being a number one receiver in any offense or not, he's the number one in this offense, and he has such limited production to show for it. Now, as we know, in watching back and the game and everything and seeing it in real time, not all of that is on him. It's the decision-making between himself and the quarterback. But for the amount of time that those two put in together during the offseason, I am surprised at just how it hasn't translated into anything, any on-field production between Fields and his most proven receiver. I mean, that's a problem, and it continues to be a problem, and so much so that you've got Darnell Mooney out on the field at Soldier Field following the game, still in uniform, about 45 minutes after everything had ended, catching passes out of a jugs machine. So clearly there's some frustrations there and somebody who's trying to right the ship, but for the amount of work and time that both he and Fields have put in, it hasn't translated to anything that they can be comfortable with going forward. So to me, I think that's probably the most glaring thing, considering we've heard that those two all off season long were allegedly on the same page, and it's absolutely not translating to what we see in games.
Where are you with Fields directly? Like, let me ask you specifically. Let me narrow down the question. I was most pissed at the end of the half that you just don't go into a half with three timeouts in your back pocket, that you're playing a team that's in your category that you should beat, that you have a great moment right there with 40 seconds or whatever it was, three full timeouts, a first down. Like, let's see what you can do. Let's see what he can do in a hurry-up situation. Did that resonate with you as well?
Yeah, but I also think that that's the coaching staff giving you a very clear indication of how they felt Fields could and what he couldn't do in that moment. I mean, you go back to, you know, in the first half, those runs on 3rd and 17, 3rd and 10. I mean, 3rd and 6, sure, that's fine, but every 3rd down for a while was a run, and that's a problem because that shows you they don't trust the quarterback to throw the ball in those moments, that they're worried he's going to turn the ball over, that he's going to get sacked again, that it's going to end up being more of what we had seen in the first half. So I think that's kind of alarming. And to your point about the end of the first half, it, you know, I know Matt Eberflus put the onus on himself that once they, you know, it was a, I think a lot of that's coaching error, because the substitutions, it took 25 seconds to get from 13 personnel back into 11 personnel. So whoever you're delegating that responsibility to on the sideline didn't have his guys ready to make that a seamless process so you could clock the ball and at least have one or two more chances before time ran out in the second half to at least try to get yourself in field goal range. Like, you, knowing the way that Justin Fields was playing, it's not like he's going to launch a Hail Mary and they're going to score before halftime. Let's be realistic. But you have Cairo Santos on your team, who's a pretty reliable kicker. Why not try to put your team in field goal range at that point and give them a chance to put some points on the board before halftime after a really lackluster half for this offense outside of the first drive? That's what I was most surprised about, but there's nothing Fields could have done in that circumstance. That's on coaching. So I think that's, you know, the more I thought about the boos that we were hearing going off the field, going, you know, when the team was leaving the field at halftime, I think that was not just dedicated to the offense, but certainly to the people who were making the decisions at that point for this team.
For sure.
So, Courtney, nationally, you talk about a lot of these quarterbacks. Cooper Rush with Dallas. Brissett, what's going on with Cleveland. Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville. Jalen Hurts, a 3-0 Eagles team. So let me ask you, when it comes to those quarterbacks I just named, which you talk about a lot on different platforms, what's the difference between those quarterbacks and what we have in Chicago with Justin Fields? Because you've checked three boxes. We've talked about weapons, coaching, and quarterback talent. What's the major problem?
Well, I mean, you have a second-year quarterback who's still developing. And I know some people will look and say, well, Trevor Lawrence is still developing, too. He was picked 10 spots before Justin Fields was. Well, there's a reason for that. Don't you remember Trevor Lawrence is allegedly a generational talent? Well, I think that, you know, the evaluators probably got hit on that, and that's a reason that Justin Fields was 10 spots below where Trevor Lawrence went. It's just reality. Jalen Hurts has been playing in this offense now for a couple years, and they have not only a stable run game around him, they have two number one receivers in that offense that certainly help the case. And on top of that, their defense is fantastic. But, you know, so much of this is the inexperience of the quarterback. I think that's what this boils down to, that you have somebody who had to, like, this offseason, they were trying to teach him how to unlearn so many of his bad habits, that whether it was stuff that was dating back to college, like holding on to the ball too long, that's been his fatal flaw ever since he, you know, played Division I football. Everybody knows that. Or to stuff that he had to unlearn from last year's system. you're looking at a quarterback who's trying to put it all together, but we're still seeing him in the infancy stages of doing that, and that's the expectation I think sane people had going into this season, realizing that Fields was nowhere near a finished product, but not even ready to take the jump yet in year two. I mean, you can say all the things you want this offseason and building his confidence and doing all the things that you need to do, which there are many things they didn't do around him, but they were just trying to fix his mechanics first to figure out whether this guy could be your answer at the position. So the other teams, if this is just boiling down to what's the difference between all the other teams you mentioned, Jonathan, and their quarterbacks and Justin Fields, they know at least what they have in those guys. The Bears still do not in Justin Fields. You have a 3-game sample size this year and limited sample size from last year where he was trying to figure it out in a really weird season. So,
Courtney, we know that he's not their guy, that this is a new regime. You also told us that...
Well, wait, Sylvie, I don't know that yet. We don't know that.
I mean, he's literally not their draft pick, is what I mean.
Oh, correct.
So there's no, like, actual connection that, hey, he's our pick, we have to make this work.
Mm-hmm,
so
exactly.
That being said, right, and he can convince them. I'm with you on that, and that was where my question was going. So he's got 14 games here, right? Isn't that where the clock is? He's telling them right now he's not ready for that sort of stuff then because they don't trust him. Does he have 14 games to prove it? Because then they're drafting high, and then that's when they could draft their own guy? Or do you believe they're in this with a long haul with Justin?
Definitely not the latter, because, you know, this group that, you know, George McCaskey handpicked Ryan Poles, and I think that he's siding with Ryan Poles pretty much on everything. You saw it with the Roquan Smith situation. You saw them not give David Montgomery an extension just yet. I think Poles is kind of waiting to see, with the jury still being out on players that he has to make decisions on, Fields included, but that were not his draft picks, like you mentioned. So 14 games is a really nice sample size for a quarterback to show, hey, I can improve. I can show you I can be the guy eventually, maybe not this year, but down the line. But I worry about it because his confidence looks so shook right now. And I don't know, some of the things that you expect quarterbacks to improve upon, you have to wait until you get to the offseason to do that. Like, you just don't often see, unless there are wholesale changes to who's calling plays and what the scheme looks like, you don't see quarterbacks improve that much in season. So is it possible he can do it? Absolutely. But here's kind of the problem. If they want to double down with the run game and winning in spite of the quarterback and using their defense, like, that's kind of what Chicago's always been, right? You're not going to have an answer then on your quarterback if that's the route that you end up going. And, you know, truth be told, you may win more games than you want to that could technically put you out of the spot that you want to be in the draft order if there was a quarterback that you were eyeing next year. So it's a slippery slope. And I think the best case scenario for them is they hope Fields can figure it out here in the next couple weeks, next couple games, and show marginal improvement from week to week. Because if you have performances like last Sunday where he's 8 of 17 and has 82 net passing yards repeatedly, you'll be able to write him off as this is not working probably by November if that's a consistent thing. And that is not the position that this group wants to be in, because we don't know how Ryan Poles wants to build this roster beyond this season. He's going to have a lot of money to do it next year. He's also going to have the draft capital. You know, could he know sooner rather than later how he wants to use some of those draft picks? That's going to be dependent on how Fields does the next couple games.
The Giants fell short last night. How similar are the Bears and Giants as far as offensive philosophy? Will we see two Spider-Man meme pointing at one another?
I mean, they've got Sterling Shepard's out for the year, so that's a huge blow for them. I think you're going to see two very similar-looking offenses. I mean, they've got issues with their offensive line. People want to poke holes in what the Bears are doing. Certainly the Bears can run the ball. We know that. And when they can run block, there's still some issues in pass protection. But Fields' physical tools and all of that are eons ahead of Daniel Jones, but he has not shown yet that he can put any of those things together outside of scrambling when he really doesn't need to sometimes, instead of actually hanging in there and trying to throw the ball. So, again, this is like a perfect test for them. These last 2 weeks, Houston and the New York Giants are teams that are very much on the same playing field as the Chicago Bears. And these are your, I don't want to call them gimme wins, but these are your the games that you should win. Because when you play Minnesota, when you play, you know, the bulk of your schedule going forward, it's going to be a lot harder than weeks 3 and 4. And so, offensively, you've got to see some changes this week in hoping that that means for Justin Fields, like, just to get him comfortable, put him under center more. Like, have the running game open up some lanes for him. But there's so much that Luke Getsy is going to probably have to alter where it's not just the volume of passes he's throwing, because even when he's giving him those passes to throw, he's not doing anything with them. So I guess, I mean, I honestly it puts so much more weight on the offensive coordinator and what he has to do this week to try to help his quarterback simply get through a game and survive.
Is this the week, Courtney, where they finally move Lucas Patrick to the spot that they wanted him to play originally, back to center, and they just let the kid Jenkins play?
I know a lot of people are frustrated about that, and I understand, because when we heard Matt Eberflus's answer yesterday about why Lucas Patrick, and you know, the split was not 50-50, and, you know, some of that is because the drives that Lucas Patrick was in for, they were doing about every, you know, I get two, you get two, I get two. And I mean, it didn't go that way the entire game, but some of the drives that Lucas Patrick was in for were longer drives, thus why he had 40-something snaps and Tevin Jenkins only had like 22. But it was interesting because Patrick didn't have the cast on his hand all week, and in warm-ups he didn't until the whole team came out right before the game. So maybe it's something that he's just not ready yet. He can have the cast off, but his thumb isn't there. I just thought it was interesting Matt Eberflus's answer saying, well, Tevin didn't have as good of a Wednesday practice as Lucas Patrick, thus why he wasn't starting at right guard. I don't know if that's the right answer. I think Tevin Jenkins can be an effective road grader. He can move people. He's a very good run blocker at this right guard position, and he's improving in pass protection. But clearly they see something with Lucas Patrick that they believe gives them a better chance to have cohesion up front. But eventually it's going to be Lucas Patrick back at center. I don't see how it can't be, considering that's what you paid this guy to do. And when you look at some of the sacks and you look at some of the pass protection issues, they're coming on the interior, so why not have your strongest interior blocker up front playing center?
Courtney, is Robert Quinn still on this roster?
Yeah, he's there. He's there.
Okay.
It's been a little quiet. but, you know, this is a pass rush that doesn't – they don't like to pressure with more than four. I get it. It's the philosophy that Matt Eberflus brought over from Dallas. But Quinn's quiet start to the season, I think, is just jarring because of what we saw last year. And you always expect that the sack numbers will level off. They're never going to go from like one extreme to the other, but they will come down back to reality at some point. You just haven't seen that much from him. But teams also are max protecting to that side. They know that Robert Quinn is the best pass rusher this team has, so they're dedicating more attention to him. So I think that that's probably the byproduct of what you're seeing the first 3 weeks with him.
Courtney, anything more we needed to know?
Well, I think we need to keep an eye on the David Montgomery injury, because, you know, remember he had something, we never found out what it was, during training camp where he didn't play at all during the preseason, but he ended up being fine for week one. I just, with this ankle injury that he has on his right side, he also had a groin injury on that right side, and he had a knee injury on that right side. This is all over like the last couple years, but typically if it keeps happening on the right side within the right leg, you're more susceptible to re-injury. I literally know this because this is the story with Dalvin Cook. Every single year I covered the Minnesota Vikings, so that's something you have to be very cognizant of. I think they'd be fine, and I honestly think the smart thing to do against the Giants team this week, as well as Khalil Herbert ran the ball last week, and as well as your offensive line run blocked, go ahead and roll with Khalil Herbert and Trestan Ebner, and I think you should be fine giving David Montgomery, who's in the middle of a contract year, he doesn't want to hurt himself any further, giving him the week off to make sure that ankle is ready to go when they have to run against Minnesota.
I'm with you. Good stuff, Courtney. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Courtney.
She's really good. Make sure you're following Courtney Cronin on Twitter and hear her on all of the shows here on ESPN 1000. All right, we're live at the ESPN Chicago Open, a great golf event at the Sanctuary Golf Course for all of our partners today. Meller's got a little waiver wire action, maybe a word on the White Sox, and also Your phone calls at 332-3776 plus Would You Rather at 540. He was working the morning shift this morning, and he was cold.
With Cap.
And he's old, and he got worn down by Cap. But his group shot a 55 today in a scramble.
Holy bleep.
And there are many people here amongst the competitors who believe that there was cheating going on, including Carmen DeFalco.
He's not happy.
Who has thrown down that for sure it was Waddle as the one cheating.
Yes.
Not to any of his partners, that it was a Tom Waddle initiated event. The buzzers and garbage cans may have been used.
We asked Carm, was there cheating? And Carm said, well, maybe he cheated, maybe he didn't.
Maybe it's the anal beads.
Yeah, maybe it's not.
Is he a Magnus Carlsen?
That story won't go away, by the way.
No, Waddle's trying to get rid of it, too. It's all adding up now.
Maybe he cheated, maybe it was accurate. I'm really not sure.
You know, sometimes you get that, Carmen, and other times you get him going nuts over a small thing.
Waddle's Judge Smales.
So wait, grab my mic or someone's mic.
Oh.
Well, Meller's coming here, too, with a fantasy.
He's been grabbing your mic for years.
Keep it fair. Judge Smales out here.
I want to make sure.
Waddle. What? 17 under.
Are you definitively saying that they've had to cheated?
It seems fishy. I was also just told they played in a six-some. So if you have six shots, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit more likely. But, man, 17s,
What was the next closest, to put it in the context?
11.
So it went from 17 under to 11 under.
I mean, that's a big spread. I'm sorry. I think that's kind of BS.
55, man.
55?
Holy bleep.
Was Waddle? Did Waddle think, it's close enough. Pick it up. I mean,
what I was asking. How would you cheat besides just putting down fake scores in the book?
You know, like, let's say they had a bunch of eagle looks they rolled some lag putts, and they probably should have been putting for birdie, but they're like, nah, that's good. Just mark us down for birdie. You know, stuff like that where they didn't actually. Yeah, but Morin agrees. Like, 17 is. Morin played college golf.
All right,
he knows
keep your beak out of it, Morin. No one asked him.
I think there's
Son
some.
Of a, get out of here.
I think we got Judge Smales.
Morin.
We got a Judge Smales issue here.
Get Morin out of
Something
here.
Is not right.
Greg Morin. So, but this was not best ball.
Well, it was. It was. You know, everybody tees off, and then you hit the best shot. Everybody hits their approach shot, you hit the best shot. So it is. When you've got six, I just found that out. Still, I'm calling
fishy.
BS. Yeah, it's
all right.
Fishy.
So there's been
a little fishy.
There's
a Stewart's inquiry.
Right. Where are the guys? Where's Dakota from Hawthorne and everybody?
Yeah,
from
Dakota. Hawthorne. Dakota was just here.
Like we got to find this out.
Where's Dakota Schultz?
Cheating scandal.
Yeah, there's a scandal. There's a major controversy brewing. 17 under.
No, that was a controversy.
Yeah, like even Mike from the Sanctuary is like,
really?
No, 17. Give me a break. Come on, guys. I mean, next time, make it like 14.
Yes.
You know, I mean, just don't. I mean, make it look good, really. Like, are you kidding? What point were they like, they'll buy 17 under?
Through the chill, busting your ass, and then you come back into the clubhouse. What, 55?
With this wind today, dude, I'm not kidding. Like, we hit a couple of shots, into the wind. You had to add three clubs. Like, that's why I find it very hard to believe.
Yeah.
We were talking today, Hoodie, that the first golf outing that we had where the fans were all included, where you could buy your way in, and we raised money for a live rescue. It was one of the hottest days of the year.
It's like 97.
I think the regular temperature was 97, 98, 99, with a heat index 110.
Yeah.
Today, there was a wind chill where it was it felt like 50, 55 out there. We have probably a difference of 60 degrees.
In a span of 3 months.
Between the two golf outings that we had. Think about it. Only in Chicago.
Not nice planning. Does that come in amends?
I don't know.
Late September. Right. Okay, what are we doing here?
Late September.
Okay.
I played with Waddle in that one. He didn't. He wasn't cheating, so I don't get it. I don't know what happened today. They must have. Maybe they duped him a little bit, and they said, well, Grecia, here's a $500 for the college tuition.
Waddle's a lot of things.
I know, but he doesn't seem like a cheater.
I don't think he's a cheater.
I know.
Well, I know he's not a cheater.
Yeah, I'm a little.
I'll stand up for him in that regard. There are two things he doesn't do that starts with a CH. He's not cheap, and he's not a cheater.
Yeah.
Call in, Tommy. Defend yourself if you're not listening to
US. It's a little suspect.
He's listening to country music.
Yeah, what are you talking about? He's not
listening to his own show right now.
Ramblin' Ray.
He's listening to Chris Stapleton. What are you talking about? He doesn't have us on.
He's got Ray on.
Get out of here. Yeah, he's got Ramblin' Ray on. Exactly. All right, I'm leaving.
Right,
see you, boys. Good work.
Hey, don't forget Woodridge. You're with me, you and Yerk on Friday.
I can't wait. Football Friday with Miller Lite and Woodridge.
Have you been to Legends
before? I have. I think we did a show there back in the day, didn't we?
Oh, wow.
I feel like we did. Like, that's how long it's been around.
04, 05, somewhere in there?
I feel like, yes. Wow. I don't know. Maybe I'm making things up, but I think we've been out there before.
All right, so that's Legends in Woodridge.
See you, boys.
Miller Lite event. Where's Meller for the fantasy football? Did he leave? I thought he's here. Is he here?
You told me. Meller's long gone.
He's gone.
Is he on the phone?
He's on the phone.
Oh,
yeah.
I was waiting for him to show up.
He's going to call in.
I was killing time because I didn't see Meller.
No. He's going to call in with it. Even I know that. He's gone.
I felt like your regular partner there, not being in the know.
I don't see him. Where is he?
I was like killing time waiting for Meller to show up. Meller's weekly waiver wire is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Meller, you're on the phone.
Yeah. I'm just hanging out listening to you guys. I was listening to Courtney Cronin give us a Bears update. And I'm listening to Waddle cheating. That's just ridiculous. I can't believe the man we know and love has turned into this in his old age. But what are you going to do? I guess he's much more cutthroat than I ever thought.
So I have bounced back thanks to some of your waiver tips. How can everyone else bounce back? Is a bear atop your waiver wire?
Oh, you are definitely a solid fantasy player, Sylvie. You know that Khalil Herbert is the clear number one waiver wire ad this week after going for 157 yards on 20 carries, 2 touchdowns this past week in David Montgomery's stead. He's the must add this week. And as we heard from Courtney Cronin last segment, it doesn't seem likely, despite all the games they want to play, that David Montgomery is going to be back, at least this week. So Khalil Herbert against the Giants is the number one waiver wire ad this week. Number two, though, is another NFC North running back who is going to stand to benefit from the absence of his own backfield mate, and that's DeAndre Swift, who is expected to miss a couple weeks with a shoulder injury. That means that Jamal Williams, who is actually rostered in more than in 44% of leagues, so he's more rostered than Khalil Herbert is right now, but he's still available in over half the leagues out there. He's a must add as well because DeAndre Swift is likely to miss a couple games at the very least. So Jamal Williams, 20 carries, 87 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And also, by the way, is still getting touches even when DeAndre Swift is in the game and active. So Jamal Williams, I know he's everybody's darling from Hard Knocks. He's also a must-add in the running back RSL this week.
Is Dobbs on that list as well, Romeo Dobbs?
Yes, he is. It's an NFC North affair everywhere, Hoodie. Romeo Dobbs is also the number one wide receiver addition, in my opinion. He, so far this season, has caught 14 passes for 137 yards and a touchdown. So even though he's not big yardage when he gets the ball thrown to him, he's still garnering a lot of attention, especially we saw this last week. 8 catches and maybe carving out a role. He's not Davante Adams, certainly, but with all the injuries that they're dealing with and the fact that Alan Lazard is not somebody who can go down the field, stretch it for you, I think Romeo Dobbs is starting to earn Aaron Rodgers' trust just a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You cut in and out. Any other ones, Mallor, that we need to know?
I think that, if you're looking for a tight end, David Njoku is worth an add. You saw him on Thursday night play well for Cleveland, and I think he is somebody who's always been an athletic specimen, so he's definitely worth an add if you need a tight end. Another wide receiver who might be worth looking at, Zay Jones for Jacksonville. He had 10 catches for 85 yards this past week, and it looks like the Jacksonville Jags have finally figured things out. And one last Jaguar to mention too, Trevor Lawrence is available in 50% of leagues. He threw 3 touchdowns against the Chargers this past week. He's somebody who I think is worth a speculative add and at least worth keeping on your bench if you need some quarterback help.
By the way, I'll text you on Olave later to see if he could get him too.
You know, he's owned in a lot of leagues, buddy, so that's why I didn't put him on. But definitely, if he's available in your league, go get Chris Olave for sure.
The Carson Wentz fantasy magic went poof this past week, Meller.
No, that's fair. And you know what? I got a little help. Listen, that's who Carson Wentz is, though. He's right. Still somebody who you can generally start in fantasy football because he is capable of those big numbers. But you know, that's probably why if anything, Carson Wentz is somebody who you probably don't trust in your playoffs. But I think if you need him in a pinch, he's definitely somebody who can have big weeks. But he's hard to count on in a week to week situation.
What's your record right now in our league?
I believe I'm 2-1, Sylvie. How about you?
2-1, Tyler. What are you?
We are 0-1-1.
0-1-1.
0-1-1. Still searching for that first
You're
victory.
You're the Lovie Smith of...
Or 0-2-1, I should say. 0-2-1.
Yeah, that's Lovie right there. That's the Houston Texans right there. All right, Meller, good stuff. We appreciate you. Good work today.
Thanks, guys. I'll kill you.
There's Meller. Catch him every morning. It's, Sunday morning, 8 a.m., and then he's on with Dion at 10 a.m. for the Bears pregame show for the noon game.
Do you know what you're talking about right now?
8 a.m. for the fantasy football
show. You had him doing morning drive. Are you kicking me out? Are we done?
No.
Is my contract over?
No. Did you have more?
Is it in a feeder?
Did you have more?
No, I'm talking about you having Meller on every morning. You said morning.
Oh, no. I meant every Sunday morning. I miss Sunday.
Okay. You've got Meller morning drive.
Are you playing fantasy football? Are you in any leagues?
Don't worry about what I'm doing, pal.
Don't
worry about what I'm doing, pal. Don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm asking salient questions
to
Meller.
Yeah,
I had a J.D. McKissick thought for him as well.
Sylvie, you know who's 3-0 in our little fantasy league?
Is someone talking to us down the line? I can't hear anything.
Yeah, he's asking, do you know who's 3-0 in his fantasy league?
What's that?
The one I'm in with you guys, with Danny.
Who's that? Hello?
That's Charlie.
Okay. Would I say that the Charlie Bevins-Danny Zetterman combo is number one in our league?
I own you.
Wow.
Whoa!
You're dropping an I own you.
That's his team name.
Three games.
Wow.
The youngin'.
Danny just gave us a death look, too. So
he doesn't know what we're talking about. Danny wanted a ride back to – did you know this? I don't know if he told you this. Danny was with a group playing today at the Open. And he goes, I got to go to the bathroom. So he jumped on our cart.
Yeah.
And he's like, drive me back to the clubhouse.
Sure.
And Keith and I both said, you got 18 holes of a golf course. Go in the woods. I can't go in the woods. I'm with someone who teaches ethics.
All right.
That's a lie.
That didn't happen?
Go ahead.
I mean, this is why I gave you the death stare, because whenever you talk about me, you don't tell the truth.
This is the truth.
I jumped on the back, and I said, I need to use the restroom. You said you're surrounded by restrooms.
Right.
I said, I'm with a woman that teaches ethics. I don't feel right. But
Didn't
you
I
left
just
out.
Say that?
It, listen, if I was golfing with Cap, Hoodie, and you, I would have pulled it out and peed anywhere. But
right.
I was with a woman, a respectful woman that teaches at a college. I wasn't just going to pee anywhere in front of her. So I asked for a ride. But get this, Hoodie. These two guys in a cart, not golfing, have nothing but time on their hands, refuse to drive me back.
We dropped him off halfway. We're like, you're far enough away from the person who teaches ethics. Use the woods over here. He literally stood in front of the woods for 5 minutes. I've never seen someone take a pee longer than Zetterman did.
He's a long peer.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He's a long streamer. he's always been that way. I've experienced his long stream, if you pardon the expression.
Yeah. Should we take
a little man, but a big bladder?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A big heart.
Let's take some of the "Would you rather" questions coming up. We'll have some fun with some "Would you rather" lay in the show. There's no Black and Abdallah today because we've got thrilling, exciting White Sox baseball.
All right.
This is for the runner up in the division, isn't this?
Okay.
And then this is a series between the Twins and the White Sox to find out who finishes second.
All right.
In the AL Central.
Right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
The White Sox are terrible, right?
Is Tony going?
Will Jake Berger ever hit for power?
I like
Right?
Jake Berger.
Right?
He's a guy who's bounce back through adversity.
I know, adversity, but I love when I go to the ballpark and someone says, hey, Hoodie, what do you think? Burger instead of Moncada at third? It's like, yeah. No, you don't put me at third. Like, you don't put a DH at third.
That's
the
great.
Big guy right off the pillow.
They put DHs everywhere, though. So
at the Sox, like, yeah. Yeah, it was absolutely.
All right,
DH everywhere.
So we'll have some fun with Would You Rather next.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olsen here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Stick Enberg. Would you like to play a little Would You Rather? Oh, my.
Would you rather you get a gift card from Lou Mal Nani's? They provided a delicious lunch today at the Partner Golf Outing. And they're one of the fine partners on Would You Rather and also at today's events. Guys, lightning round before White Sox baseball. What do you got for us today?
All right. Kelly wants to know, if Chicago had to get another pro sports team, would you rather they get another NFL team or another NBA team?
NFL team for sure. I believe in a Chicago AFC team, the Chicago Amazons, and they could play at Soldier Field.
I know we have a lifetime bet on this, don't we?
Yeah.
Because I believe they're not going to get one. You believe they do. I'd rather get another NBA team because I would go to those games. I do love the Bulls, but I wouldn't go to another football team's games.
So where are they going to play? Springfield? Where are they going to play?
Where would they play?
Yeah.
They share the United Center.
No.
Like the Clippers and Lakers.
No. Oh, my God. Oh,
so
my God.
Now you got to battle that plus the Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's what they do in L.A., don't they? Clippers, Lakers, and
that's
Kings?
Why the Clippers are moving out.
Yeah, right.
They're moving to Inglewood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The idea of it, the other NBA team. So that one would be traveling out west all the time.
You know I love the NBA.
I do, too.
So
I love the league.
A win-win for both, but we answer differently there.
All right. Would you rather fly a hurricane plane or drive a tornado chaser truck?
Neither.
No, you got to choose one.
I would drive.
Are you opting out?
No, I'm not going in. I'm not going through hurricanes in an airplane. I know the eye of the storm is calm. What they're dealing with in Florida right now, not good. I feel like the storm chasers, I know a few who do it out in Kansas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I feel like, for the most part, you can drive out of harm's way. I don't want to be in the air when there's a hurricane hitting landfall.
No, I'd rather be in that storm-chasing truck saying, oh, there's a hurricane. Go get it, boy. I love a hurricane. Take that picture. I'd rather do that than to be up in the air, because you're right. If it's coming, I could drive as fast as possible, find myself some kind of spot to go. So I'd rather do that. If I'm going to do it, it'd be on four wheels.
They both scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Both of those.
All right, this one's from Brian. Would you rather raise good money and have a hole-in-one in every hole at the ESPN Chicago Open, or play a full 18 with Tiger at the risk of him getting irritable at how bad you are?
I'll take the latter. Playing with Tiger Woods?
Wait. What's the first one, though? So that you're like, now you're doing the do-good on things? Where, like,
you're raising money, and you also hole-in-one all 18.
You hit hole-in-one on a par 5 on all 18?
Hoodie can bomb the ball, right?
That's never been done before. Even at a golf outing, if I can...
We're getting contested on a 55 here today. What are people going to say with an 18?
I have an 18-hole hole-in-one streak. That's amazing. I would love to play with Tiger.
Yes.
But...
Tiger.
I'm doing the first.
You're doing the first.
I'm setting a record, yeah, and raising good money.
But here's the thing. No one believes you. Like,
witnessed. We've got cameras. And, like, after the first few hole-in-ones, we're rolling on my next tee off.
This is your imaginary Live Golf TV network that you're on right now.
Well, everyone's got their own
going
TV
through.
I mean,
would you look at this guy, Mark Silverman?
No one will be able to see the action happening because it won't be televised. But at least with Tiger, I got moments. I got a selfie with Tiger.
If you have three holes in one on number 1, 2, and 3, your buddies are rolling the phone on number 4.
I think they're rolling on number 3,
right?
Like,
and then, whoa, here's another hole in one. It's going viral. And you're being interviewed on every talk show in America.
Your buddy has a shaky camera. He's got his thumb over the camera. Burger.
Drops the phone.
Why is Burger filming? Yeah,
so there you go. So that wouldn't work.
All right, so we're
Burger, why did you put your thumb on the camera, right? No one saw the hole in one.
Damn it, Burger.
Damn you, Burger, right? Waddle?
Waddle. Abdallah, can you hold the phone? No. What's that? Hoodie was doing me, so I had to yell Abdallah.
Crosstalk?
This one from Jacob. Would you rather wear a diaper or only be allowed to use a litter box?
You know, in a few years, it's going to be diaper time for me, so... And you too, pal.
Wow, cashing out early, huh?
Yeah, you know. Well,
like, how soon are you thinking you're going to be in a diaper?
No, I mean, I think we're both on the back nine.
So is this wearing a diaper all the time?
Yes. Out of abundance of caution,
litter
let's
box.
Say.
Yeah, litter box. Litter box!
I think we're both going to be in a diaper soon, though.
We better not be.
Is this marathon over?
Yeah, it is.
Is this telethon?
It's a telethon.
God almighty.
All right, we've got White Sox baseball coming up next. Thanks to Courtney Cronin and Barstool Big Cat. Hoodie, great work. Kendra back at the shop. Charlie,
Kendra.
Thank you. Tyler, great work. Meller, for Hoodie, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
So long, everybody.
Really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.